All right, let's get started. Today we are going to begin the sugya of what exactly a Jew has to do in order to avoid the problem of bishul akum. Meaning, certainly it seems clear that a Jew doesn't have to cook the entire thing from beginning to end. How much of the process does a Jew need to be involved in? We are probably not going to get into the issue so much today about a Jew turning on the fire. That we'll probably get to, I was about to say tomorrow, but tomorrow Baruch Simon Shlit is giving shir. That we'll probably get to on Wednesday. So I guess what you have in numeral 2 in your outlines and on, that we'll probably get to Wednesday. Today, we're going to try to go through the Gemara and the basic questions that emerge from the Gemara, and then discuss, you know, what that means for us, halacha l'maisa, you know, how we derive the halacha from this Gemara as far as what exactly a Jew has to do in the actual cooking process, when he's actually going to participate in the cooking process. That's going to be our focus. So again, two separate topics over here. There's the topic of when a Jew is not actually participating in the cooking process and he's turning on a fire. That's going to be next time. Today, when a Jew is participating in the cooking process, how much participation, what's called participation in the cooking process. So let's start with the Gemara. Lamin Chesam and Aleph, we'll just read through and see what jumps off the page as we read through the Gemara. We are holding Amar Avidom Shmuel, the fourth wide line, Lamin Chesam and Aleph. Amar Avidom Shmuel, Hiniach Yisrael Basal Gabi Gecholim. A Jew puts meat on the barbecue. Uba Ovid Kachavim Vahafach Bo. And a guy comes and is hafach bo. Hafach what? What was he hofech? Hofech means to turn over. So it could be the meat or it could be the coals, right? Pashtus is the meat, right? Pashtus, he comes and he flips the burger. Mutter, that's going to be mutter because the Jew is the one that put the meat on the barbecue. That's good enough. Says Gemara, is it necessarily good enough? Now, this is stunning. The Gemara is about to question whether it's necessarily good enough for a Jew to put the meat on the barbecue. I mean, considering what we rely on, that a Jew 6 months ago lit a pilot light or something. And, you know, the Jew, mamish, put the meat on the barbecue. And the Gemara says, it may not be good enough. Hey, chidami, if it would have cooked eventually without the guy doing anything, well, then pshita, then of course it's good enough. Elalav di lo hafach lo havabashil. Now, had the guy not flipped the burger, it would not have cooked. Well, then am I mutter? Then it can't be mutter. Bishul shalicham dinu. That's bishul akum. Meaning, even if the Jew puts the meat on the barbecue, if it would not have cooked, but for the guy's participation, it's bishul akum. Which, you know, you have to ask yourself all these aterim that we did. If a Jew turns on a stove, right? And the guy, you know, then goes to work. And 6 hours later, the guy is going to do all the cooking on that stove. Would anything have gotten cooked without the guy? Obviously not, right? And yet the Gemara at this stage is clearly assuming that anything that would not be cooked without the guy's participation is aser. So something changed between that and what we, you know, rely on in our kitchens, at least in Ashkenazi kitchens, and even in Sephardi kitchens to some extent. Says Gemara Lo Tzricha, Di Lo Havach Havavashel B'Tarti Shai V'Hashak Havashel B'Chadash Haita. No, the case is it would have gotten cooked, but much slower. Now it's going to happen more quickly because of the guy's participation. So Ma'u D'Tei Makruvi B'Shulim Milsihi. I might have thought that if he's Makariv the Bishul, that the guy making the Bishul happen more quickly counts as Bishul. Kamash Malan. Now, whenever you have any general statement about Bishul and about what's called Bishul, you always have to ask the question in your head and do a little bit of research. You know, Bishul Akum is not the only halacha that's related to the Hagdara called Bishul. We have a din of Bishul by Bishul B'Shabbos. We have a din of Bishul by Kachib. They're a din of Bishul. So what's the Gemara saying over here? Is the Gemara saying, you might think that that's called Bishul when you make the Bishul happen more quickly, that that's called Bishul in general. Kamash Mulan, that that's never called Bishul in any area where Bishul is an issue? Or is the Gemara saying, no, Ma'u D'Tema, that Kruvei Bishul HaMilsihi, because everywhere else, Kruvei Bishul HaMilsihi, everywhere else that we find that there's din of Bishul, being Makari of the Bishul counts, Kamashmul, and the Bishul Akum is different than everywhere else. Right? So you have to see, what do we hold by Bishul B'Shabbos? What would the halacha be on a d'oraisa level by Bishul B'Shabbos? Is Kruve Bishula also Bishul? So if it is, then the way you're going to have to read this Gemara is that Ma'u Detema Kruve Bishula Milsihi. Since it is Milsi everywhere else, I would think it's Milsi over here as well. Kamashmalim, this is different. Says Gemara, Va'amar Avasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Shu Kemachol Ben Drusai, Ein Bo Mishum Mishul Ev Lechavim. That Avasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says that if the Jew cooks it to Machol Ben Drusai, it doesn't matter what the guy does to it afterwards. Ha Eino Kemachol Ben Drusai, but it sounds like if the Jew's participation only got it to less than Machol Ben Drusai, which is Machlokas, whether it's a half cooked or a third cooked. It's also Machlokas Achronim. How do you measure a half or a third of a qualitative change? Right? If it's a quantitative thing, I understand. Half, a third, right? You know, if you have 10 little gadgets, right? So half of them is 5. I get that, right? When you're dealing with quantity. Cooking is a qualitative change. So, is it zman bishulo? Do you measure the zman that it would take and say half or a third like that? Okay, so that's a major discussion. When we learn Hilcha Shabbos Bez Hashem one day, we could get into that discussion, but not for now. So, if the Jew only cooks it to the point where it's not yet at Machol Ben Drusai, at that barely edible stage, which is half or a third cooked, if the guy then cooks it the rest of the way, it's going to be a violation of Bishul Akum. Sounds like the Jew got it to just under Machol Ben Drusai, and it would have cooked had it been left alone. But then the guy came along and the guy was Mimar Bishula from that point on, that it's still going to be an Isra of Bishul Akum. That's the Gemara's Kasha. We said before that if the item would have gotten cooked without the guy doing anything, no problem, you're in the clear. But over here we're saying, no, if the Jew actually only got it to less than Machol Ben Drusai, and then the guy took it the rest of the way, even if it could have cooked from the Jew's actions, the Jew put a burger on the barbecue, it was going to cook. But 2 minutes later, the guy came and the guy flipped the burger. It sounds from here that it's going to be Asr. But we said before that that should be Mutter. So says the Gemara, Hasam kigonda osfei besilta v'shakli ovid chavim v'osfei betanura. That there's a big difference between two cases. One case is the Jew puts it on the barbecue. The guy comes and he moves it around the barbecue. He raises the flame. He whatever. You know, but it stays where it was. The Jew's initial action was never totally bottled, was never totally undone. So in that case, it's going to be mutter even if the guy came along when it was not yet at Machol Ben Drusai. In that case, it's going to be mutter. The other possible case is the Jew comes and cooks it to less than Machol Ben Drusai. The guy takes it off of the fire. Let's just make it as clear as possible. Takes it off of the fire, puts it in the pan. You know, ki'ilu, it's done already. Then he realizes, what did I do? It's raw. The thing is, it's only a quarter cooked. So the guy then takes the quarter cooked hamburger, puts it right back on the fire. That's a problem with Bishul Akum. Because the Jew's maisa was severed. Whatever he did, it was cut. It stopped. So since the Jew's maisa was severed, that's when it's going to be a problem with Bishul Akum. A Jew puts meat on coals and he goes to shul and the guy is stirring the pot every 2 minutes till the Jew comes home from shul. You don't have to worry about it. Why? Why don't you have to worry about it? The Jew didn't get it to Machol Ben Drusai before the guy came along to help. Why don't you have to worry about it? No? Because it would have cooked if you just would have left it there. It may not have cooked evenly, may not have cooked as well, but it would have cooked if you just would have left it there. And as long as it would have cooked if you just would have left it there, that's good enough. I don't care if it got to Machol Ben Drusai or not. And similarly, Shafes Yisha Kedera Al Gavikira, if you live in such a household where the woman cooks and not the man, essentially, the Gemara first spoke about the man cooking, then the woman cooking. So Shafes Yisha, a raya against Yonah. Shafes Yisha Kedera Al Gabe Kira, Ubasa, we can argue later. Ubasa Venus Chavin Umagisa. A woman puts a pot on the stove and the woman leaves the house, and she comes back, and the guy is stirring the pot. Umugisa chetava mibeis hamerecha, it's mibeis haknesses, and the guy is taking care of it until she comes back from the Beis HaMerchatz, where Mistama, she has a job running the Beis HaMerchatz as the CEO, or from the Beis HaKnesses. Okay, I'm not going to make her the rabbi, but she comes back from the Beis HaKnesses. Veina chasheshes, and you don't have to worry, it's no problem. So, okay, again, the same idea, because had she left it that way and the guy never come along, it would have gotten cooked anyway, that's good enough. If we were to stop right here, and I were to ask you, if the Jew does something that it would not have gotten cooked without the guy's participation, asr or mutter? Asr, absolutely asr, right? It's only going to be mutter if it would have gotten cooked had the guy not come along. That's clear in every statement we've seen in the Gemara to this point. There's no way it could be mutter if what the Jew did would not have gotten this item cooked. Now, every case we've been talking about has also been where the Jew started the process, and then the guy came along. We have not yet discussed what if the guy started the process and the Jew came along. L'chora, if a guy puts something on the fire, and then a Jew comes at any stage, before Malchut Ben Rishai, after Malchut Ben, at any stage, a Jew comes along and starts stoking the coals and adding seasoning, whatever he wants to do, moving the meat around on the barbecue, whatever. At any stage, stirring the pot, is the Jew doing enough to have gotten the item cooked? The guy turned on the fire, took the food, put it on the fire, and what's the Jew doing? He's stirring. The Gemara should say that's no good. Because whatever the Jew's doing wouldn't have gotten this item cooked. He would be, you know, if he went over to the stove before, and the guy hadn't actually put the food on the stove or turned on the fire, and went like this, he would be doing exactly what I'm doing right now, right? Like, he'd just be stirring the air. He didn't do anything. I mean, not that he didn't do it, he's not contributing to the cooking in the sense that he's not doing enough to have gotten the item cooked without him. He's not doing enough that the item would not have been cooked without him. That's like a triple negative? Good. Okay. So now, says the Gemara, Ibayilu, Shail is as follows. What if the guy did everything? He turned on the fire, put the burger on the fire. The Jew is the one that's hafach. And again, we haven't translated hafach exactly. We know it means overturned, but we're not sure what he's overturning. So Amar Rav Nachman says, Kal v'chomer. Ooh, Kal v'chomer, that's okay. Kal v'chomer? What's the Kal v'chomer? Gam Rabbi Yad Ovid Chav Mutter, Gam Rabbi Yad Yisrael, Lokoshkein. If when the guy finishes up the job, it's going to be Mutter. When a Jew finishes the job, of course it's going to be Mutter. Does that Kal v'chomer bother anybody? I mean, that Kal v'chomer is entirely backwards. The whole yesod was that the Jew did enough to get it cooked all the way. You know what that includes? Starting everything. Finishing is easy. But somehow the gemar is going to be the definition now? The gemar is going to be stronger? Maybe there's some special din called gemar that we were unaware of. There's something about, you know, lo nikra dover el shem gomra. Something is only called after the one who finishes the job. So then what if the Jew participates in the middle? The guy puts all the food on the grill. The Jew says, oh boy, the guy just put all the food on the grill, I better do something. So he goes and he adjusts things and whatever. And then the guy finishes the job. Pasha pshat, even at this point in the Gemara, no good. Right? Because the Jew didn't do enough to have gotten the food cooked. Nor was he the gomer. Right? That would not be good enough. Itmar nami amra barbachanam rabbi yochanan, rami lamar avacha barbachanam rabbi yochanan, bein shiniach avicham avachisol, bein shiniach sol avachavicham. Whether the Jew did the first half or the second half, mutter vein osir ad shetei, tchilaso vigamro biyad ovid kuchavim. It's only going to be osir if it was done beginning and end by a guy. And what about the middle? Does it mean beginning to end by a guy? And if a Jew participates at any stage, that's good enough? Or does it mean beginning and end by a guy is a problem, and the Jew helping in the middle doesn't do anything because the middle doesn't matter? Not clear, right? Not clear in the Gemara. But regardless, this whole thing is against Amud Aleph. Right? The whole Amud Aleph assumed that the Jew's participation has to be enough, that had the guy not done anything, what the Jew did would have gotten this item cooked. That's the criteria in Amud Aleph. On Amud Beis, that criteria has clearly changed. We don't know why. We never asked a kash on it. We never rejected it. Somehow that criteria seems to have changed. Very confusing Gemara. Anyone, you hear where I'm coming from in this? The whole Amud Aleph was all about that one rule. It has to be that the Jew did enough that it would have gotten cooked without the guy. And on base, the Jew comes and he finishes the job. Oh, Kal v'chomer, that's even better. Why in the world is that better? I don't know. But somehow we don't care that the Jew's participation would have gotten the whole thing cooked. We don't care about that anymore. Amar Ravina Hilchsa, Harifta. Now the Gemara says, okay, now I'll give you an actual real case. Harifta, what's a rifta? Bread. So that's important over here. Because we're bringing a riot to this whole sugya of shlakos, of bishalakum, from what seems to be a case of pasakum. And that's going to be a big discussion. Are the rules necessarily the same? Now the fact that the Gemara brings it over here implies that the rules should be the same. But implications aren't always reality. Hilchasa harifta de shagar ovid kochav va'afa Yisrael. The guy started the fire, the Jew bakes it. Inami, shagar Yisrael, va'af avil chavim. Or the Jew started the fire, the guy bakes it. Inami, shagar avil chavim, va'af avil chavim. Va'asa Yisrael v'chata b'chituye. For the first time, we have a case where the guy does the beginning, the guy does the end, the Jew just does something somewhere in the middle. Chata b'chituye. What's chata b'chituye? Hashem Pshat stirs the coals. Shaper dummy. That's fine. Now, another huge leap. That even the Jew doing something in the middle, and even he's not even touching the bread at all. He's not even touching the food. He's just touching the fire. That's good enough too. Okay, so there's a lot to unpack over here. Right? This Gemara leaves us a lot to unpack. You read this Gemara, you're like, you don't even know where to begin. So let's maybe phrase it as five questions that we're going to need to sort of unravel over here. Question number one. Does a Jew have to do enough that it could have been cooked with his participation alone? Right? Because if you ask Amud Aleph, the answer is yes. If you ask Amud Beis, the answer is no. So, like Lamaisa, what happened over here? Does a Jew have to do enough that without his participation it could have gotten cooked? Question number two. Does a Jew have to deal with the food directly? Or is his dealing with the fire good enough? And a caveat to that question, does it make a difference if it's pas or bishul? Because you can answer that question very easily, or seemingly easily, by that last little piece. Yeah, he doesn't have to deal with the food. Because look what happened with the case of the bread. We said the guy turned on the fire, the guy put the bread in the oven, and the Jew just, you know... Or even before that, we said the Jew turns on the fire, the guy puts the bread in the oven. That's fine too. Is that only a din in pas, or does that apply to bishul as well? So that's question two. Question three. Does a Jew's participation in the middle of the process help? I'm not saying any chidushim right now. These are just the questions that Mamish, you know, came out of the Gemara. These are the ones that jumped off of the page and like onto your computer screens, notebooks, you know. Question number four. Is Kiruv Bishul considered Bishul in Kol HaTorah Kulo? The Gemara had said, I might have thought that Kruve Bishule is called Bishul. Kamash Malan. It's not. Being Makariv Bishul is not called Bishul. You got to look in Kol HaTorah Kulo, see if it is. And question number five is more, maybe doesn't jump off the page as much, but it's something you got to think about over here. we keep talking about a guy doing the cooking and a Jew doing the cooking, and how much of the process, meaning overall the cooking process, there's 100% of the cooking process has to be divided, right? Some percentages can go to the guy, some to the Jew. Let's say 60% by the guy, 40% by the Jew, or something like that. And we talk about how that gets divided up in a way, right? And the Jew has to have a significant enough portion of the cooking process in order that it be okay. Is it a din that a Jew has to do a significant enough percentage of the cooking process? Or is it a din that the guy has to not do a significant enough portion of the cooking process? Am I not getting it? A trained monkey. Maisa kof, right? This is a common expression in halacha. Maisa kof. Rav Shechter got in trouble once because he gives shiurim to people who don't know all the Talmudic expressions. He translates Talmudic expressions. So someone asked if a woman is allowed to read a ksuba under the chuppah. So he said, it's not so much my style, but halachically, you know, a monkey can read the ksuba under the chuppah. Headlines in the papers. Rav Shechter calls women monkeys. He thinks all women are monkeys because people who write papers are amaratz. They don't know. There's a halachic expression, ma'isakov. Ma'isakov means it doesn't really have to be done. You know, it doesn't have to. You don't need ma'isagavra. You don't need someone doing it. It's a very common expression in halacha. What if a guy starts the fire, and you have the trained monkey, you know, arms failing, and he does a cute thing. You know, get a YouTube video out of it, and he puts the bread in the oven, or he puts the food on the flame. Good enough? Is that bishalachim? You're not going to marry the monkey's kid. Right. Someone once asked me a shayla. They trained their dog to turn on and off the lights. That was yesterday's shiur. The Rambat Shvisas Behema. Maybe this is Daraisa. Having the dog turn on your lights for your Shabbos. It's not that hard. He jumps up and it's something with his paws. So he turns on. Okay. It's worse. I think it's worse. Maybe Shvisas Behema. Maybe this is Daraisa. So that's an interesting chakira, no? Is it that, you know, I don't know. Let's say the entire thing was done by a kof. Let's start with that. Say the entire thing was done by a monkey. What would the halacha be? For sure kosher, right? There's no gzeir of bishul monkey, right? There's a gzeir of bishul akum. So that for sure would be kosher. How do we view the Jew's role in the cooking process? Is it that when the Jew participates in the cooking process, it's matir what is otherwise a bishul akum? It counterbalances what is otherwise a bishul akum by being an active participation of a Jew? Or is it that when a Jew plays a significant enough role, it means that the goy didn't do a bishul? Since the guy only did 70%, he didn't do a bishul. You see the difference? If it said, no, the guy did most of it, and therefore this is a bishul akum problem. Ooh, so this needs to be counterattacked by a Jew doing something. So the Jew doing it is like machshir the bishul akum. Or do you say, and in which case you need a Jew to do it, a monkey can't do it. Or do you say, no, the point of the Jew's participation is that a guy is allowed to play a certain role in the cooking process before it rises to the level of bishul akum. So if a guy plays that percentage, I don't care who finishes it off, whether it's Gamro Biad Yisrael or Gamro Biad Kof, doesn't make a difference. The guy didn't finish it, and therefore it shouldn't be bishul akum. In an automated world, this is a hugely important shayla. You know, it sounds like Maisa Kof, oh, it's cute, you know, Chakiru with no nafkamina. Huge nafkaminas! Everything's automated in every factory, everywhere. Huge nafkaminas.
It's even because it's a tier in Rabbanan. Like, fundamentally, the cooking is more there, but then Rabbanan, like, added on their zera to prevent certain kinds of cooking. So then it would be like the second one.
Because fundamentally, a guy cooking is mutter on the daraisa level.
So then, it's only that you can't have a non-Jew cook up to a certain point.
Okay, it's a svara, but we have to see if we have any clear rayas or anyone who talks about it. Ah, okay, good. So do you say that everything goes with the mice of whoever clicks the button? Or can you say, what if he does it in a way that's grama, you know, that's indirect, it's not called even his mice? You know what Hashkach organizations do now? They have a factory in some far-flung place in Alaska or something. And to send a mashkiach there and back, so they have, you know, they send a mashkiach once in a while, but every day to turn on the oven, you can't send a mashkiach there every day. So it's computerized. Someone goes into the OU office in Manhattan, types in a code that only he has, the oven turns on in Alaska, so a Jew has turned on the oven. Now, you could argue, boy, that's not what they were talking about, right? Chazal, they never dreamed that the Jew is not even going to be in the same state. They didn't even know what a state was. Then the Jew is not going to be, you know, they never dreamed that such a thing would happen. So maybe we'll have to discuss that next time, right? What exactly how direct it has to be for it to even be called your Maisa. He's punching in a computer code and that's going to be, okay, so we'll have to see. Now, as far as the issue of whether, you know, this Chakira, which, you know, whether it's Jewish participation or just that it's not all done by a guy. So this is discussed, as everything else is, in the Sefer Shulchan Malachim. And he quotes a Sefer Chidushim U'Biyurin of Chaim Grindman Shlita. A lot of his Shlitas have since deceased. I don't know about Rav Chaim Grindman. I don't know who that is. But, you know, he quotes Rav Vosner Shlita. It's very sad to read as he quotes all the Shlitas that are no longer Shlitas. So anyway, he quotes Chidushim Biurim, who says that if the Bishul was Miskariv al Yedei Goy, Ein Bozeh Klum, Dikiruve Bishul Lav Klumi, V'Kolshkin Im Miskariv HaBishul al Yedei Yisrael Shemater Bezeh Mibishul Egoyim, Zazin L'Kulav Lo L'Chumra. That if the Jew does something to be Miskariv the Bishul, that's perfectly fine. And then he writes, whatever we describe as the role of a Jew, a monkey does it, that's perfectly fine. As long as the guy doesn't do everything on his own. So Rav Grindman held clearly like that side of the Chakira. Rav Vosner, in Shevet Alevi, Chelek Teh Asim Kuf Samach Dalet, if you train an animal to light the fire, because at the end of the day the guy's not doing everything, or maybe you need a maisa koldu done by a Jew, I'm afraid to be makel on this, because the mashmaus of the poskim is that you need some sort of maisa. It's not called when the animal does it that a guy is doing. Let's say just, you know, there's the sun, you know, it hits a glass that magnifies it, and all of a sudden a fire happens, and no one did anything. You need a maisa Yisrael to be mevatel, to counteract the shame bishul of a guy. Notably, no riots. Right? On either side. It's all svaras. It's all, you know, you don't want to say, but it's like, you know, whatever, you know, shooting from the hip. Right? Ben will say, what? Baich is. Yeah. What? No, that's okay. So in the Rav Shlomo Kluger has a sefer called Avodas Avoda Mesachs Avodas Zara, which I used to have here, but I didn't use it once all summer, so I sent it home with my wife yesterday, and now today's the day that I need it. So in the sefer Avodas Avoda on Avodas Zara, he was asked about a bishul that's done on Yedei Kishuf. You wonder who asks these shailos, but whether you're allowed to eat bishul that's done on Yedei Kishuf. So he says it depends who does the kishuv. You know, if a guy does the kishuv, so it's bishul akum. If a Jew does the kishuv, then it's bishul yisrael. Fine. That's what you expect him to say. But he actually starts off by saying, no, if a Jew does the kishuv, it's aser. Why? Because the Jew's not allowed to do kishuv. So you can't benefit from a maisa kishuv that's done by a Jew. It's lo socha kol toeva, kol shel tiafti lach, harei ubebal tocha. He says, im anachri asakein, he's not musar on kishuv. He's allowed, then you're allowed to eat it. So he seems to be assuming the other way, that if a guy does a kishuv, then it's not a problem. Why? Because it's not a bishul guy. That's a totally different svara. First of all, the guy didn't do anything in that. Meaning, if you hold that kishuv is nothing, so the whole cooking process was done by kishuv. So that's not, you know, where this does come up, where this may play a role, is what about a katan? You know, I'm asked this shayla all the time. Husband's at work, wife is at work, babysitter home with the kids. Can I have my 7-year-old turn on the fire? I thought I was going to be home in time. I'm stuck in traffic. I'm not going to be there in time. Can I have my 7-year-old turn on the stove and have the guy do the cooking? Right? Very practical shayla. Comes up all the time. Is that enough? So he quotes over here a sefer, Cheker Halacha. Al kolpanim b'in shiyah mechata Yisrael, dav sheinu mechata nahata bar kavanahu. Avol mechata goy v'shevcha knuyim legamri. Fine. He says that you need chitoy. I'm sorry, the chitoy of a Yisrael katan is not going to help you matir bishul akum, even though he knows what he's doing, because he's not a bar kavana. But if a gadol is omer al gabav, so then you could be mitstari if the gadol's kavana with the maisa of the katan. You have such a concept elsewhere in halacha. Rav Asher Weiss said he doesn't even see a shayla. A katan is a Jew. And the point is, you need a maisa of a Jew. Okay, a kof is one thing, but a katan is a Jew. I would be noted to say like that as well. That a katan is a Jew. So of course, why wouldn't it be good enough? And the Rambam's lashon in Parak Yizayin Hilchos Machol Sasur Salach Yud Gimel. Hidlik ha'akum esetanur va'afa bo Yisrael, o shehidlik Yisrael va'afa akum, o shehidlik ha'akum va'afa akum bo Yisrael v'nir e'esh ma'ato kof shal e'esh, hol v'nishtatif b'mlech sapas ha'rezu muteres. Yisrael, all the Lashon is just Yisrael. It doesn't say anything about, you know, Yisrael bardas or whatever. This also comes up in different contexts. You know, there are a lot of places, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, where they and elsewhere, maybe in Yavin, that they'll hire kitchen staff who maybe aren't full B'nai Das. You know, because they can do certain tasks in the kitchen and they can be trained to do certain tasks in a way that, you know, will get it done. So, is that considered good enough to save you from Bishul Akum? Right? So Rav Menashe Klein was asked, he said, it's too easy to fool them. Meaning you need someone else looking on what's going on. Okay, fine, it's too easy to fool them. But let's say you're watching in the camera, you see that everything's going okay. It's a bishul akum. So Pashtus is, I think, pretty clearly, what does Rav say? All you need is Yisrael, you need a Jew. So as long as a Jew, it's fine. It could be a katan, it could be someone who's maybe not a full badass. Plus, I would even say further than that, when you're dealing with someone who's able to work in a kitchen, you know what, we're going to put an IQ test on it? Like you have to have an IQ of, step below Mensa, you know, like in order to not be bishul akum? No, you need to not be socially awkward. So how far from the spectrum? I mean, come on, like you can't, where are you going to draw lines? So I asked Rav Shechter once, like who's a bar das? He had a bar mitzvah in the shul once. I wasn't sure. Like, I'm like, can he get an aliyah? Can he lead the davening? He said, if he knows that when it's cold outside, he puts on a coat. And when he's hungry, he should eat. And when it's hot outside, he should put on clothing. That's a bar das. He doesn't have to be a genius in order to be, you know, to be considered a bar das. So anyway, it's probably a bar das.
Are you able to eat food that a guy has to refuse?
For what?
Through
3D printer. They make food in 3D printers now?
Yeah,
Mestam, it's the same as any other kli that a guy would use to make food. Right? It's probably the same as another. Yeah. Oh, so what we're learning today is that a guy can't turn on the fire as long as the Jew puts the food on the fire. Right? One or the other has to be done by a Jew. Okay. All right. Now, someone else asked me, and I realized that we haven't really gotten into most of what you learned about this morning, although we read the Gemara. Yeah. Someone else asked about how does this allay the concerns at all of Binyamin, you asked me, I think, of Chasnus and of Shemiach Lema Davitame, because a Jew, stoked the coals a little bit, so now you're not going to marry them anymore. So what you have to say is, it happens to be the Rashba deals with this question directly in Torah Sabayis, and what Rashba writes in Bayis Gimel Shar Zayin, the Devarim Elu She'inon Elam Mishum Gezeres Chasmus, all these things that are all about Chasmus, Kol Sheyesh Bo Heter Ktsas Hitiv. All you need is something, a little reminder. Hipuch Bekechalim Hiniach Yisol V'Havach Noachri Hiniach Noachri Yehavach Yisol, because as long as Yesh Heker, that's the Lashon of the Rashba. Yesh Heker, Lo Asi L'Kruvi. Mashal Ma Dover Doma, you have something very similar in Hilchos Nida. In Hilchos Nida, there's a simon Kufzadi Hei in Yerodea, which is all about Harachakos. What is Harachakos? The things that the type of interactions that are permissible between a man and Ishto Nida, which are a totally different set of halachos than what's permissible between a man and a woman in general. Meaning even a man and a woman who's not his wife. Totally different set of halachos. When they're eating at the same table and no one else is there, there needs to be something in between them. They put something on the table, like you would between when someone's eating milk and someone's eating flesh, you get the same thing, right? He wants to give something to her, he can't pass it to her directly, you've got to put it down, and then she picks it up. Why are all these things necessary? He's not going to be attracted anymore? No, because there's just little hakerim that just make it part of your consciousness that, oh yeah, she's a nida. Oh yeah, this is a guy, I'm not supposed to be hanging out with him too much. Just a little heker is all that's necessary just to make it part of your consciousness. So that's what the Rashba writes. Yeah.
Can we say that maybe it's similar to the way the Shach wrote about Chalavakim, that if you buy the factory, then it just no longer, even if the non-Jews are working there and they're milking all the cows, then it's just no longer Chalavakim.
So Bishul seems to follow different Gedarim, that it's not about ownership. Because what did the Gemara say? How do I know that? The Gemara says, you have the guy doing the cooking, and you go to the Beis HaKnesset, you put the thing on the fire, you go to the Beis HaKnesset, Beis HaMedrash, you come back, whose food are they? And they do that. Pashas is your food. So even though it's under your ownership, it would still be a problem if the guy did everything.
Maybe the action that the Jew is doing is sort of uprooting the whole idea of Bishul Akim, and now it's no longer a Bishul of a non-Jew, and now it becomes...
But the question is why? Meaning, why is that enough to make it the Bishul of Israel? Yeah.
If the Svar of the Raj is correct, why is it not okay to just have a hacker non-Bishul related? Let's say make the guy put down.
You can always ask about the Gedarim of hacker. Why is this hacker good enough, not that hacker good enough? They say you need Gedarim for everything. And I don't think that's, why is it that when husband and wife, why are they allowed to, sleep in the same bedroom? Not allowed to sleep in the same bed. Why are they allowed to sleep in the same bedroom? I don't know. You could always come up with more, but we have to have some gedarim.
This isn't more or less. This is a specific bishul.
Which makes sense. The issue is bishul akum, so it'll be something about the bishul.
So maybe as far as that, when a Jew's mixing the pot,
good. There's a similar thing. I wasn't going to say it, but once you bring that up, there was a similar Maramakom that he quoted here in the Shulchan Malachim from a different sefer, from the Shailos Uchuvos Ra'avi Abad. Ravram ben Yitzchak Av based in Narvona. Simon Reish Tazayin, you know, Shaz Jubis Rabbi Abba, where he asked his Rabbi, Rabbi Yosef ben Palat, what the Chachmei Tzarfas are relying on when they're matir pas shel goyim al yidei kisein, just by throwing a little bit into the fire. So he says, I udka omar akati ikumishum chasnus. Just because what? I raised the flame a little bit, now I'm not going to want to marry his daughter anymore? He says, you're not going to want to marry his daughter. He's not going to want to give his daughter to you anymore. He's going to say, oh, all of a sudden my cooking's not good enough. Oh, you have to, you know, pretend you're doing something by stoking the coal a little bit. Oh, you know, shkoyach, you really contributed a lot there. No, because I'm contaminated and you can't, I'm not good enough. So he says, It's only when you're going to start to socialize. V'kivan dechazule, the guy sees, lahay yisrael delo achil maidavu, that you're not going to eat what he's baking. Elbamad eats him, unless you do your stupid little thing. You know, you do your little, so, ola sinasa b'libayim. It's going to cause him sina, merach yiminei. Okay, another svara. I know, you say it a little differently. I understand.
Why all these things, especially in the hospital, it really counts for chasnas. It doesn't count for shemei afilani.
Yeah, because the real is chasnas. You know, reality, right? Nothing is shemei. If there's an actual chashash that's going to give you a davar tamei, then meaning in the future, you said. Why does it only not work for shemei afilani? Shemei afilani is also about korban. Right? If it's about the future, the fact that you have to be there anyway, which may play a role in terms of the OU in the computer, right, turning on the fire in Alaska. Yeah.
It's consciousness and whatever. Also, like,
doesn't really help. Maybe it does. You could argue that it does. Yeah.
In regards to Rabbi Korban, in response to Ben, does that mean that he needs to watch you throw it in, because if you throw in your little piece of wood and he's not looking, the whole reason is
it would seem, according to that you'd have to know that you did something. He'd have to know that you wouldn't need it without his participation. Yes.
I have two questions.
Great.
One is a non-Jew allowed to cook and turn on the fire and do everything for himself or himself? And also,
you're going to have to come to Sharon Thursday for that. They're allowed to do it for themselves. The question is, your pots might be not kosher anymore.
And also, wouldn't you make the chalashon if you're sitting with a woman at a table? Wouldn't you make the chalashon if you're sitting with a
friend? Oh, no. It's only with your own wife when she's a nida, not with any other woman. In general, probably shouldn't go out on dates with other women anyhow. Okay, so let's move on. What exactly does hipuch mean? You know, hafach Yisrael, hafach goy. So what are you being hofech, right? And how exactly do we reconcile that with the goy taking the food off the fire before machal ben drusai, which we said is absolutely awesome. A Jew is hofech a little bit. Oh, that's good. But and we pass in the halacha that if the Jew lit the fire, put the food on the fire, the guy took the food off the fire before it got to Machal Ben Drusai, then put the food back on the fire, Aser! So what exactly is going on over here? So if you look in the tour, source number 2, says the tour, V'lo Aser el k'shkala b'shal ha'idei of the k'rona ha'itchilaso osof ha'idei. If a Jew does the beginning or the end, mutter. Ketzad, hiniach of the gulim atav shel al gchalim b'yisrael v'chata b'gchalim, that the Jew messes with the coals, mutter. Av b'shayim special blochitui, even though it could have gotten cooked without the Jew doing anything. V'cheinim hiniach yisrael ba of the gulim v'chata mutter. Ba'medvar mamurim shematzav of the gulim al gabei agchalim kishachata. That's only if the guy found it already on the coals when he stoked the coals. Avlim nasnu Yisrael ala esh. V'solka, But if the Jew put it on the fire, the guy took it off the fire, miyad, uba over the gluvich zero, or even if the Jew took it off the fire right away, and the guy came back and put it back on the fire, asarim can you give him achman yisrael shul slush bishula. Right? That's the halacha that we got straight from our Gemara. Yeah. Says the Beis Yosef in the second paragraph. No, the first paragraph. Says Beis Yosef, quotes the whole Gemara. Yeah. V'yafal gav da hasam, that's six lines. V'yafal gav da hasam mifshal memela, el shagai kiriv bibishal, hasam ki gon da osse besilta v'shakle, gai v'osve betanur, ibailu hiniach gai v'avach yisol mahu. We asked the Shaila about the Hiniach Goy Vahavach Yisrael. Vasikna Bein Shiniach Goy Vahavach Yisrael, Bein Shiniach Goy Vahavach Yisrael, Mutter. Veinu Asa Achete Tchilasa Vagomro Biyad Goy. Umashma, Dihi Bech Tekaomar Abasar Koi. When we say Hafach Yisrael is good enough, that means if he's Hafach on the Basar itself. Dumya the Megas Asakadera, the Tani Labahedya. Daniel Abada, Bebraisa, Begemara, Meniach, you saw Basal Gabi Gacholim, Uba, Goy, Uma Hafech, Bo! What did we say Mahafech Bo meant? The Basar! Achiv, you saw Misa Merchatz, right? Mahafech Bo is the guy who's stirring the pot! Shavesi, Shakadar, Al Gabikir, Bo, Goy, Magisa, Magisa what? The pot! Achiv, Misa Merchatz, Misa Nesin, Chesheshes. Vichain Kosova Ramba. The Ram also writes, Perigazam Yelchma Choser Zoch Gazayim, Hiniach Hagoy Basar O Kedera Al Gabi Eish, Vahafach Yisrael Bibasar! Vihigis Biketera, O Shiniach Yisrael Begomer Hagoy Mutter. The Ram makes it very clear that what is the what does Hagasa mean, what does Hafach mean? The actual food. Vinirli Dai Hibuch Bibasar Lola Afcha Mitzad Shum Munach Al Gabi Chol Malanich Mitzad Acher Kamer. And hafach doesn't mean that you move it from one side to the other, because if you flip a burger, this is a chiddush, says Beis Yosef. If you flip a burger, what have you done? You've removed the burger from the fire, and then when you put it back down, you have replaced it on the fire. So if you have hafach goy, and the goy came and flipped the burger before it got to Machal Ben Drusai, what would that halacha be? According to the Beis Yosef, Asir. Now you could have argued on this. You could have said that's not at all what that means. We have a din in Hilchos Shabbos when it comes to Hachazar. Right? There is an Issur D'Rabbanan of being machzir a pot of food back onto a fire. And there are all sorts of Tanai Hachazar. One of the Tanai Hachazar is what? Oh, the Biyam. If it's still in your hand, then it was never really removed. It's still hot. It's Daitel Ahachzir. It's still in your hand. It's not really removed. Now, I understand that the Gedarim of the Yisurim Drabban of Shabbos are going to be different than the Gedarim, or might be different than the Gedarim of Bishul Akum. But over there, it's a Svara. It makes a lot of sense that if he's still holding it and he plans to put it back the whole time, the cooking never stopped. This is how you cook. I would say Kal V'chomer on flipping a burger. That's how you cook a burger. It's a continuation of the cooking process. There's a great chiddush that the Beis Yosef is saying. That if he's actually hafach, if he actually lifted the burger off, it's going to be a problem. Because Shasilko, a guy called him Sheizbashel, Kamach, and Shasayv, and Zulahar, Asr. So it must be that hafach means Menano, Vumanea Eish, Kamayri. Vaideka, Chubra, Gucholim. You know, moving the meat around on the grill, and like all of a sudden the fat goes down and the fire comes up, you know. Viniskar Bishula. Aval Rabbeinu near Shemifari Shus Rabbeinu when the Beis Yosef is talking? The tour. Whenever you have Rabbeinu, it's always, if it's written in the commentary to something, it's always, meaning when the same author is writing, but the book is called Kesef Mishnah, Rabbeinu is the Rama, right? Okay. Aval Rabbeinu near Shemifari the Wow. So, machlok is torn in the Rambam. What hafach means? Does it mean the gecholim or the meat itself? So this is going to play a huge role in the halacha. As far as, just a moment, as far as how we paskin la halacha, Shulchan Aruch and Siv Vav, kol shabish li yisrael mat vishulo, beim duchil, beim yisrael mutrin, lefichach miniach avicham basar gder al gabi esh, vahafach Yisrael, says Shulchan Aruch, bi basar, vihigis, bi kedera, hariz amutrin. So it has to be on the machal. Comes along the Rama and says, nah, it doesn't have to touch the machal. V'yesh cholkim, sfirle dahadlakas ha'esh, olchitoi begichalim, ma'ani linyin bishol, linyin pas, k'mo linyin pas, v'chein ogim. Why would begichalim be enough? What's the greatest raya? The Gemara concluded with a case where that's all the Jew did, is the gechalim. Yeah, but that was a case of pas. But it's in the sugya of Bishalakum. Taflam and Ches is Bishalakum. It's not Pasakum. So that's a machlokas la'alach. What if a Jew participates in the cooking but he does neither of those things? He doesn't touch the fire or the food. What did he do? Sanu, give me an example. What did he do? How do you help the cooking process without touching the fire or the food? Think Hilcha Shabbos. You put the cover on the pot. It retains the heat, cooks quicker. The oven door is slightly ajar. Close the oven door. Didn't touch the fire. Didn't touch the food. We're almost done with shir, so I just want to make sure I get these points in. We can talk after, okay? So what do you do in such a case? So l'chora would depend on whether you're a mechaber Jew or a ramah Jew, right? Meaning, if you hold that the Jew has to deal with the food, it means that you hold that the Jew has to cook. Right? Dealing with the food is cooking. But if you hold that, like the Rama, that just dealing with the fire is enough, it means that you don't really need the Jew to cook. What do you need the Jew to do? You need some sort of hacker. You need something, you know, to be a hacker that he's participating in that which is important in the Bishul process, or that which affects the Bishul process in one way or the other. It could be then that putting the cover on the pot would be enough. It could be that closing the oven door would be good enough. If you hold that you just need some sort of hacker, like it sounds like the Rambam. In this Sefer Shulchan Malachim, he quotes a Tshuvas Hisorus Tshuva, Chelek Beis Simon Samach, where he was asked if closing an oven door is good enough. And he says, Yesh Latira, because the oven is cooled down while the door is open. By closing the door, you're maintaining the heat, so it's baking a little bit better. So you're misayaya in the baking process. Ubiprat l'tam she'isa b'shulchan aruch, especially based on what says, he was talking about pas in his case, that the whole point is that it should be nicker that the pas is not there. So over here you have a hacker as well. So whenever you just need a hacker, apparently closing the door is good enough. Now, you could understand, an achron is not compelled to say that that's a good enough hacker. You know, there are two ingredients to cooking. There's the fire, there's the food. Everything else is secondary. So it could be that the hacker needs to be in the davar chashuv, like you were saying before. Like, there are gedarim of hacker. And the last thing that I wanted to discuss, but we're probably not going to have time, is how do we reconcile the Ramah with the Gemara? Anam Lav. Meaning, the Ramah in Siv Vav is telling me, if the Jew turned on the fire, that's good enough. I guess this will be next time Shir, right? If a Jew turned on the fire, that's good enough. The Gemara was clear that if what the Jew did, Anam Lav at least, that if what the Jew did would not have been enough to cook the food, then it's not good enough. In fact, the Pri Chadash and the Gra reject the Ramah. Ashkenazi post will reject the Ramah. Because he's against the Gemara. So for that, you have to really take a careful look at the Taz and Sifkat and Vav. The Shach over there as well. But the Taz, you know, really deals with this head on. And Bez Hashem, next time, that's what we'll start with, maybe, if you remind me, with the Taz and Sifkat and Vav over there, how to reconcile this Ramah with the Gemara. Okay, stop there.